right, welcome to another episode of Honest to a Malt with Mike, aka Tupids, and Duncan, yet to be nicknamed. And Mike, what's the name of the episode today, my friend?
Well, there is a nickname, but I can't say it on air. So today's nickname, no, damn it! Today's episode is called The Godfather, Part 4.
Da, 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 da. Now, Mike, let's get this straight off the bat.
Was that Last of the Summer Wine?
Yeah, that was, oh, yeah, decent. Big fan. Yeah. Have you ever watched The Godfather, Mike?
No.
No.
I've seen clips, I've started watching it, but I don't know. For whatever reason, it hasn't just gelled with me, and that was that. I just haven't bothered with it.
Okay, we'll let the people listening to the pod judge you. It's fine.
Be kind to the people.
So we're going to do today, we're going to go through some, we've both been trying some samples, and we've been experimenting with different versions of the Godfather cocktail, which is one of my favorite cocktails. So thanks for doing that. Thanks for your experimentations. You know, usual stuff. We'll have a bit of a wee wander through a few bits and pieces. So with no further ado, Mike, what's been in your glass and what's been up your ass this week?
So what's been in my glass, as we just mentioned, is a lot of Murray McDavid samples. I've also been going through some older stuff that I had opened, which was quite good because that's what I've used in the cocktail thing, so things I kind of forgotten about. So what's in my glass at the moment and what I've had a couple of this week is the Penderyn Rich Oak. Yeah, right. Different. It's the gold ones, and essentially it just means they're slightly higher ABV, but they're 46% ABV.
Gold ones?
So Penderyn do, if you've got like a gold leaf on the bottle, it means 46%, but they have got like a 40% range, which is right. Some of them are right, but most of them.
No, 46% is better, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So yeah. I always stick with 40%. But yeah, in terms of the Penderyn lineup, it's not my favorite. The Portwood is hands down
the best one.
Penderyn you'll probably get. The standard Madeira, to be fair, is pretty decent. It's not like a direct relation of whiskey in from Scotland. It's very much its own product.
Do you find it's quite creamy, the Madeira one?
Yeah, I get loads of white peach on it as well. So it's just a completely different like fruit base compared to sort of Scotch. They use a weird sort of, I think it's a Faraday still or something, like something completely random. And it just comes so fruity. But yeah, they're doing decent stuff and they've been going for quite a while now. So someone posted today actually about the new laws potentially going to have to be declared for a whiskey to be declared.
No more Welsh whiskey. Is that the law?
No. So similar to SWA, but less things up your ass. Essentially,
right, okay. We
can be a bit more fluid and slightly more common sense approach to it. So
Penderyn always reminds me of my late uncle. He used to have a pub up in the north somewhere, in like a little village or town. And going to visit him, like, you know, on the motorbike and then staying over for a couple of nights. And he just had this little pub where you'd walk in and it was just him sitting in the front watching TV and he'd be like, oh, serve yourself sort of thing.
Quality.
And they had Dukebox, which just played things like Pink Floyd and old school. And when I went round one time to go and see him, stayed over, we sat and we went for a bottle of Penderyn.
Nice.
I think it was the Madeira finish together.
Yeah. To be fair, I wouldn't be surprised. It's the one that
so
most
creamy
people
and
have.
Sweet.
It is super, super sweet. But yeah, this one's slightly different. It's kind of that same spirit character, but has got a bit more bourbon-esque sort of about it. So slightly more vanilla-y and a bit more oak char maybe. A bit sort of more tannin. So it's a bit of a grown-up version of Madeira, I would say.
So what's been annoying you then this last week?
What's been annoying me for this last week begins with T and ends in R. It's Twitter. And in particular, Elon Musk is a douchebag.
Yeah, he's not making things easy for us, is he?
No, like just because you've sacked half your staff, you idiot. you've basically ruined your app. Like, it was so annoying. Like last week when we were trying to do a tweet tasting with Steve Rush, Whiskey Wire,
Right.
And like I hit my limit just before I was about to do the drink tasting.
I don't know. I haven't got close to hitting a limit unless I've got a special limit that's been placed on me by Elon on his own. I've never hit this this limit. I'm not aware of it. I've worked out
what mine is probably doing. So when you go to, you're just looking at people you're following.
Right.
When I press home or refresh, it loads every tweet from when I last looked at it to now, instead of just skipping. So it's like just mullering my whole like thing.
Right, okay. It just loads all these tweets and then says that you've loaded, yeah, you've looked at them.
Whether that's a Google Pixel problem, I'm not sure, but
I know, it hasn't happened to me.
Just before I was doing the tweet tasting, it's like, boom.
Think about it. 600 tweets is a lot to have to actually read. So I wasn't sure if it was that like you had to scroll past them or actually click on them.
Scroll past, I think.
Wow, yeah. I haven't even got close to that. So what does that say? Sorry, people know that I am paying attention to your tweets.
Definitely not.
I like a lot of tweets, so
yeah. So now, yeah, he's obviously trying to force your hand to pay money. Tweet deck's gone, which is what we always kind of use for tastings.
Not me, I just did it the old school way.
Yeah, on your phone and do latest, but it was very convenient. Yeah, tweet deck going down is a problem for me in many ways.
I think there's a lot of people trying to figure out what to do next. We'll have to see, but in this regard, I'm not an early mover. I'm not the one that's going to go and I didn't sign up for that Threads or whatever. I'm going to wait.
I'm straight in.
No, I'm just going to wait and see what happens. And then if everyone, or lots of people move, because I'm not in love with Twitter. I'm not in love with any of these social media platforms. It's just the one that has the best community on it. So if the best people in the community move to another platform, I will move. It's that simple. Otherwise, I'm just going to stay where I am.
But you don't want a stagnant pool of whiskey nerds. You need fresh blood and interest from elsewhere.
Fresh people join all the time.
Connections from outside. Yeah, but like not if you've got like a closed Discord group. It's not as open as Twitter.
I literally deleted Discord from my phone like this week. So I'll probably have to reinstall it in like a week's time when I'm on some after party thing or whatever.
Yeah.
It's trying to save space.
Yeah. So Twitter's been up my arse, basically.
Yeah, fair enough.
And then Threads, because I've now turned notifications off, but ultimately it's killed my battery for like 4 days where anyone that's accepted my follow, which was done automatically, it tells me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, God. So it's like every 2 minutes, like ding, ding, ding. There's nothing to do with popularity. It's just an annoying feature. That's what's been up my arse. Duncan, what's in your glass? And any issues?
Now I'm drinking a Godfather. We'll get to talk about that. And I've poured it with Kilkerran Bourbon Cask, Cask Strength 8. So I'll see. Actually tastes pretty good. So one of my variations is including Campbelltown. So that's pretty decent. I can't remember. I've actually tried a bunch of stuff this week. We did have quite a lively night out, sort of celebrating everyone's 40th birthdays in town. Uptown. Central London.
Landon
Town. And that was quite a lively day. We went to one of those interactive game rooms. And then we just went and sat at the nearest bar and got...
smashed.
Yeah. You know, but you don't turn 40 every year. Hey, and all of us school friends were all turning 40. So it was a lively one. And then we ended up out.
In East London. No questioning over like
100% out.
It's 100%. Fully.
Talking and getting back early into the morning. So that was really good fun. And I think I've had a few drams. The most interesting stuff I've tried this week was the Murray McDavid samples, which we're going to talk about.
Yes.
But other than that, you know, I've had a couple of balcony drams. It's been good. And I did give the SE11 to my father-in-law. Came round and he really liked it. You know, I took him through the story as well and he found it really interesting and he tried that and he thought it was good. And I'm making a concerted effort to finish off that Paolo Cortado Kalila, which from James Edie. I've been loving that bottle. So I think I'm just going to get it finished now. So it's been a good week all in all.
Yeah.
Oh, and what's been annoying me is really like petty, but we've just started taking our daughter to school. And, you know, she's 4 in August. And the school's a lovely school, beautiful area. And there was like a new school fete. And I went along for a bit and then Maria came along with Eva and they were in a little tire area or something and Eva's hat fell off and someone half inched it.
Did you call the police?
No. And it wasn't handed
get
in.
Get some detectives round to hunting.
It was a special frozen cap.
She just has to let it go.
Yeah, well, she has, but but I'm not sure Maria has. Anyway, she can't believe that someone's nicked this cap, because you know, who steals like a toddler's cap or whatever,
another toddler,
and it was just in that area. That's what I said, it's probably just another toddler or whatever, they've walked off with it. And Maria was, you know, we're scanning to see if we could see anybody that had this hat on their head.
That's so good.
It is so good. Right, should we get into these Murray McDavid samples in?
Yes. We just got to say thank you for sending them out.
Thanks very much.
I know they went to a few people, but I think Liv, once again, has been sending everything out straight to us, which is very nice of you. This ruddy Murray McDavid.
Murray McDavid.
What we were sent was the new Murray McDavid's Art of Maturation. Blair Athol, 7-year-old, finished in Tawny Port. Glenn Tocker's 14, finished in Oloroso Sherry. And Kalila, 5-year, in Madeira.
Yeah.
Yes. And what order did you do them in?
Well, I went to the nearest stretch of forest, because it's Epping Forest around this area. And I had the Tockers, the Glen Tockers, in the forest sitting on a tree with Leo running around. So, I did kind of really enjoy that one, but it was like sort of sunset territory. It must have been like late evening. And unlike Peep Show, I didn't have any packs of crisps, so it wasn't a picnic. It was definitely just having a dram in the forest.
Did you see anyone burying dead bodies there? Because Epping Forest is known.
There was actually the stretch opposite that, where there was that body fairly recently in... recent times, yeah. But that was a while ago now. That was a few years ago. So I thought that was really good, that one. I can't really say what my favourite is. I definitely liked all three of them. And I've decided that given... Because I've tried a bunch of bottles from... bought a bunch of bottles from Murray McDavid. And then obviously we've tried more samples recently. And they either tend to be very good or super wacky. They fall into those kind of two camps. And I think of the three... The Blair Athol was kind of super wacky, and the other two were just brilliant.
I think that's Dean all over, isn't it? So Dean Joad, who's like, I don't know what his official title is. Apologies, Dean, if you're listening. Is it like
Chief Sandwich Maker?
Chief Marmite Spreader on, but no, he does come up with some wacky stuff, which I think he loves. Like, he's sort of...
Like that stout finish as well. That stout finish was super wacky. And the Blair Athol. So yeah. I was going to start on the Tockers. I've got my notes in front of me. 14-year-old, I said, the nose is buttery pastry, raisins, caramel figs, and stewed apples with cinnamon. Oof, sounds good, doesn't it? And then on the palate, it changed dark chocolate, ginger biscuit, spice, some oak, cherries. It was a real rich, easy sipper. So there was enough.
We didn't do these together, by the way, but mine is pan of raisin, Cocoa Pops, honey caramel, and cookie dough ice cream on the nose.
Get that.
Then palate. Honey, cherry, oak, ginger, coconut, dark chocolate, and hints of cinnamon. Finish, shortbread, oranges, ginger, wood spice. So very
that
similar.
Similar notes on that one. Well, that's probably a good thing for them, isn't it? It was kind of like an easy sipping kind of Christmassy type whiskey, but you know, one you could have any time of the year. Anyway, I really enjoyed it. I then tried the Kalila, the 5-year-old.
Hard to go wrong with the Kalila, and they haven't.
They haven't, have they?
Thankfully. It was really good. I got nose, Bramley applesauce, peat smoke, maple syrup, bacon, but not smoked bacon, and strawberry. And then palate for me was obviously smoke, but like raspberry ripple ice cream, loads of oak char, caramel popcorn, and then it was like a eucalyptus or pine note in
there. Super detailed, Mike. I don't think I got most of that stuff. I just put, it's a gentle journey for a sweet and smoky nose, savory palate. And it finished on sweet and sour, because I always think about the flavor combos in a whiskey, you know, like the balance of smoky, sweet, bitter, etc. And the main things I got from were like charred pineapple, charred prunes, hints of apple, peach. You mentioned brownie apple. It was kind of like, kind of got that kind of barbecue coals, peat, salty pretzels and brine. I really liked it. And I think people get hung up on a whiskey being like 5 years old. It was about 55 quid or something. And if I wanted to pick out a Kalila, I think I would. I think that's it'd be a really easy bottle to have in the cupboard. You don't really know it's 5 years. I mean, it could be 7 or 8 or 9. It wouldn't really make any difference, you know.
And there's a lot to be said for young whiskey, because it is just the most
young peated whiskey for sure.
So I think,
You remember 100%. That? You remember that 5 year old?
You need something that can stand.
You remember
up
that 5 year old Ben Nevis?
Yes,
like Dirty Dram. And this didn't have, you know, the exact same notes as that, but it's very similar in terms of like the quality of whiskey at such a young age. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to find my notes on the Blair Athol.
The Blair Athol, yeah. So this was mad. I texted Ian after and just said, this is literally mental. So nose, just got balsamic vinegar, and then that kind of dropped off into orange, and then got loads of Victoria sponge cake. Again, this is a proper SMWS note, but like a recently polished Chesterfield sofa.
Right, yeah.
Yes, I am that wanker. cherry ski yogurt, coconut, and raspberry.
Cherry ski yogurt. That's so middle class, Mike.
What, cherry ski yogurt? That was like a staple growing up. I haven't had it for years.
I was eating grog.
It's how I remember it.
Please, sir, can I have some more?
Yeah. No, you can't. Palate then, loads of oak. It tasted older than the 7 years, significantly. Yeah. Raisins, honeycomb, ginger, and then traditional lemonade. And then the finish for me was oak, dark chocolate, seeded strawberry jam, and very lively.
I think the main thing I take from that is you've got really good notes off all three whiskies. The only thing I thought was different to what you said, I mean, not that specific, I certainly didn't get. I got cherry. And it felt quite black currently, the Blair Athol. It's just very fizzy. It had a real kind of like, you know, it was really bouncing around on your palate. And there was like sugar ginger in there, and definitely the oak was coming through. It was a bit drying into the finish, raspberry on the finish. Some of the things you said as well. But I initially thought, I don't know if I like this. And then immediately after, I was like, what am I talking about? I'm actually really enjoying this. It was like,
mate, when I that balsamic note for me when I opened it, I was like, what is this? Mm. Like, has he sent me one taking the piss, or has he put something in there? And it just settled quite quickly. And then I do sometimes get that balsamic note, but it was really,
what
really
was that,
pronounced.
What was that thing you did earlier when the sample turned up in the post? Was it
praise the Lord. You're like, oh, I got a good one.
Praise the Lord.
I don't know which accent that is. It's half African, bit of like South African thrown in, and a bit of American. But yeah. Praise the Lord, I got a good one.
Yeah, so thanks very much, David. We're probably going to start a page on our website and put our favourite bottles or drams on there just for your bottles. So if they're on there, then we really like them. Yeah.
It is good because they were like, again, they were kind enough to send us the 40% range, which is like the value range, essentially.
Oh, yeah. I was away from that, but
knocking out just decent stuff consistently.
I don't think it's 40%. I think it's like 43-ish%, isn't it?
43.
Or something like that.
No, it was. I'm telling lies. Sorry, Dean. It was like 44.
Yeah, it's like
44.5%
or something. Yeah, just enough. You know.
Yeah. Like I said, really good. And just before anyone moans and says, you're only doing it because it's NU freebies.
No,
we've got the website with SMWS code. SMWS codes, we don't get anything from them. All sorts of things we do not get.
Yeah,
anything.
But the thing is
we don't, no one expects
affiliate
us
sort
to
of with certain, you know, I've been buying bottles from Robert David for a little while. And they're just, as I said, for me, I'd sum it up as saying they're either very good or really wacky.
You're always going to have your favourites.
Yeah.
And it's just lucky
that
both of us
that stout finish,
which
a lot of people weren't too keen on at the Blind Drams, I really liked. I thought it was really syrupy and interesting. That was like, just goes to show.
And it's people as well. Whiskey Live London, when we met Dean and Dan, they were top lads. And you sort of, it's easy to get an appreciation for a company when you like the people.
Yeah, it helps,
doesn't
it?
it's so much easier.
Dean might have one of the poshest voices in whiskey, though. Just saying.
Oh, yeah. Apart from me. Apart from me, see?
what else I've seen on Twitter that you're obviously not liking is Master & Malt about to do their yearly parade for Sassenach. Sassenach, is it Sassenach or Sassenach?
Sassenach, as I would Sassenach. Say. And
With a knick-knack Sassenach, it's going to win.
I don't want you to start another war with anyone.
No, I'm not. So I learned something very interesting this week from Michael Henry, which is that I knew it was a whiskey that he'd done, but actually went into more detail about it and the balance between malt and grain and the aging, etc. And I've tried it and I thought it was quite good when I tried it. It's just, it's not the whiskey itself. It's the sort of the fact that it gets carried on by
a very handsome gentleman who
and a lot of fans of the TV show. But regardless, and I think last year that whiskey brand beat Bunnahabhain in the final of this knockout competition of Master and Malt. And it's hard to really see past it doing so well again. So my thoughts
was
on
it blind?
No, because it's not about tasting. It's just about how much you love the a brand or the distillery.
Oh, right.
So
then,
I would really like it if Master Malt, for example, decided to run two competitions instead of one. And I know that'd be more work for them. But given the fact they're one of the biggest distiller, one of the biggest retailers, people really pay attention to what they're doing in whiskey. They did this competition last year and you'd end up with, well, in the final, you end up with Bunnahabhain versus Sassenach, right? But what would be amazing is if there was one knockout competition for brands / independent bottlers and another one for distilleries, right? Because what could literally happen is in this final this year is, given that more Sassenach fans, and again, I don't know if I'm saying right, now they're more aware of the fact that it's Lochnomen that goes into the blend that they love and they buy. You know, they've got like bottles and bottles of it on their shelves and they're like caressing their bottles at night time. But given the fact that they now know, or more of them are aware, the actual distillery and whiskey that went into it, or the majority of it, where it's produced, it's a very good chance it'll end up with Lochnomen in the final versus Sassenach.
Yeah.
And then, you know, do you know what I mean? Like, so
definitely.
It's just so popular with such a wide number of people in the USA.
It's selling the Scottish dream, mate. It's the work's done for you.
I just think it'd be great if they just did a distilleries only knockout and a blends into, I know there'd be more work, as I said, but I just think that would be really class. And then I think it would mean more.
Yeah, but Michael said to you that Sam, I'm not going to try and pronounce his surname, had the final say, basically, in what was selected and stuff. So he was fully involved. It wasn't just like, put my name on it. He was actually interested and showed, a bit of care and stuff.
I mean, one thing I think we should do, I've tried some of these whiskies, but I think we should have an episode where we try, you know, that bottle, a couple of the bottles that kind of widely sort of talked about, you know, just for interest, really, right? Yeah. Again, because, you know, you have one sample, you have one dram that someone sent you. It's not the same as having a few.
Of course not.
It's like saying, can you really review a bottle if you've only had one dram? You know?
And that's, I suppose that's the downfall.
I think that you get an idea, but you don't get the same. Like, what have I been having where it's just getting better and better as the bottle? Oh, that SC11's been getting better and better as the bottle goes down. That's not, you know, that happens.
Gang, right? Gang. SC11.
Yeah.
The SA11 Mandem.
Yeah. Mandem. Film me, fam.
that made me chuckle.
That was funny. Godfather Part 4.
Yes.
You've obviously never watched the film, but where it comes from, this Godfather cocktail is, it turns out in the top 10 cocktails in the world, there's two popular whiskey cocktails. So one of them is, you're going to guess them. Which are the two?
Old fashioned.
Yeah, ofs, right? And?
Espresso martini.
That's not a whiskey cocktail though, is it?
Oh, sorry, whiskey cocktail.
Yeah. The two whiskey cocktails that feature in the top 10.
Don't know.
Manhattan.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so they're the two most popular. I like those, but I also like a Godfather, which is something I got into when I was like younger, like 24, 25.
Tell me about the Godfather, Duncan. I haven't seen it, but that's what I think it sounds like.
That's what it sounds like, right? There's loads of quotes for it. So I challenge you to try this Godfather when we were down the pub the other day, just the podcast thing, right? And so you did. And then I thought, what happens if we try variations on it?
Yeah.
To see if we can make it better.
Amaretto and Copper Dog blend.
Yeah.
And it was, really good.
So this
really
is
liked it. So,
yeah.
I was more than happy to take part in this when I did my stuff yesterday.
and the sort of spirit of this really is, you know, if you're listening at home and you like a cocktail, is just experiment a bit. Like, we've experimented with old fashions, haven't we, a lot, right? Different types of syrup and stuff. So I thought the Godfather, I've never really experimented. I always just kind of have it with a similar whiskey and amaretto, half and half.
What's the staple measures for anyone coming in?
It's just one on one. Like, so one pour of whiskey, one pour of amaretto over rice in a tumbler. That's it. That's all it is. It's a really simple cocktail. And I guess that's part of its charm, you know, but it is on the sweeter side because obviously amaretto is an almond-based spirit, isn't it? It's about 30%.
Almond.
Almond.
Get the almonds out the cupboard with Duncan.
Almond. On my bagel.
You're talking to me with your almonds.
You're talking to me, my friend. This is an episode about The Godfather, so it's okay to speak like that. Right?
That's, they're all from New York, I guess.
New York.
New York.
So we tried it. So I've done a research. I think I tried like 4 or 5 variations. Where did you get to? What did you find work? What didn't
I
work?
I had a really good night last night. So I bought...
Win or lose, you're on the booze.
Gozio.
I don't know what that is.
Which is like a posh version of amaretto, basically. Mm. Turns out, I think it's probably a little bit sweeter than amaretto as well. So I went for Aran 10, Bunnahabhain cask strength.
In the same glass?
No, I had 5 different glasses.
Oh, so what you did was you tried a different whiskey with the same amaretto. Okay, so we did it totally differently. Okay.
Yeah. So I did then the Buffalo Trace 45%. Then switched to the Pendarian Rich Oak. And then my final one and my favorite, weirdly, was the Smokehead peated rum cask finish whiskey with the amaretto. But I did put, because it is so sweet, and I just like, it got a bit bleh after like one, about 4 or 5 drops of lemon juice into the glass. Obviously, sweet and sour balanced it out a little bit. So, that is me, Godfather Part 4, just added that lemon. That's really,
I think that's fine. So was that your favourite, like peated?
That was my favourite. The peated rum cask finish was, big shout to Smokehead because they gave me that for 3 years ago.
so good you
just
haven't drunk it.
Just getting around to it
now. 300 bottles, Mike, props his head against the parapet again.
Just putting myself out there, mate. Yeah. But no, that made a banging cocktail. And I think, to be fair, they did market it as a sort of one that don't be afraid to mix and blend and just have an experiment with. So, Stacey. Right.
Well,
what were you going with?
Well, definitely the peat worked. Right now I'm drinking... I was trying to be clever and tie them into names from characters from The Godfather, like Fredo and Vito. You won't know because you haven't watched it. But
Chocolate Frog.
Yeah, Chocolate Frog. Fred, was that Freddy or Fredo? I can't remember. Fredo. They were like 10p once, weren't they?
Yeah. Oh, those days.
10p chocolate.
You should go to the shop with £1, come back with 5 Fredos and a bottle of Macallan 10.
Macallan 10. I was in a petrol station the other day and I wanted to buy a double decker and it was like 90p or something or a pound.
Robin. Bastards now.
I was just it's ridiculous. For a double decker, it's outrageous.
So disgusting chocolate anyway. Don't know what you're doing.
No, it's a great chocolate bar. So I've been trying different things. So I wanted to try like a Seatown one, like a Campbelltown one, because it's saltier. So I tried one with Springbank local barley.
I was gonna go for that and I went
not local barley. I said the same thing last time. Handfill. I used the handfill. Yeah. Okay. I thought it would be sacrilege to use local barley.
No, I was going to. I picked it up and went, no, someone's going to lynch me.
No, someone's going to lynch you. So I used the handfill, which, by the way, is still going cheap on auction websites, so don't freak out. So I used the handfill with the amaretto, but what I did was I put a couple of drops of like bitters in there, and I tried it with celery bitters and standard bitters. And the bitters really helps because obviously amaretto is quite sweet. So the bitters just helps to sort of lift it a bit and give it a bit more base. So my advice would be, if you find it too sweet, put a couple of drops of bitters into the Godfather. That's advice number one, which, to be clear, I'd never tried until the last week. I also tried one with lemon juice. I just said the Campbelltown one worked really well because it's sweet and salty, salty, not too salty. I tried one with lemon juice, which was literally just a third fresh lemon juice.
Yep.
A third whiskey and a third amaretto. I was just trying to remember what I think I used. It might have been Lagavulin I used.
Okay.
I just have to check. I definitely did one with peat. And I also tried one which was, I think it was that one. Because then I figured that would be smoky, sweet, and sour.
Yeah.
And it was. And what I found was basically like equal parts was a little bit too much. I think I just needed to use maybe like dropper. Half a measure of lemon juice, just a little bit less.
I used a dropper, literally, and just...
Mm.
You can't see what I'm doing on the radio, perfect. But yeah.
On the radio?
On the radio, on if the this, FM, Mike, on the wireless.
If this was radio, we'd be 3 a.m. in the morning.
Coming in for the graveyard shift, it's honest to a malt.
Then I did actually come across something really good. So what I did was I looked at really successful cocktails like the Negroni and went, okay, what happens if we take a Negroni and we like godfather it up? So I took whiskey, which was, I think, milk and honey. Because what we said before, if you want to make something better, put the best whiskey in the world in it.
Bada bing,
bada bing, bada boom.
Yeah, love it.
Yeah, bada bing was the name of the strip drink, wasn't it, in Sopranos, I think.
I didn't.
Have you never seen Sopranos?
Didn't get into that either.
Oh, my days, Mike. Why are we doing a podcast together? I'm starting to wonder. So that was sweet. So this was whiskey. I put 1.5 measures of whiskey in. Mm-hmm. I halved everything in the end, so it wasn't mental. But 1.5 measures of whiskey to 1 measure of sweet red vermouth, you know, Rosso. 1 measure of Campari, it's Campari bitters, and 1 measure of Amaretto. And that was amazing. Mm. Again, all in a tumbler, just stirred with ice. Nice. I didn't put any additional bitters in it because the Campari is like an Italian version of bitters. That was incredible. And I think I would have that over a Negroni any day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. To be fair, I'm going to start messing about with cocktails, I think, because, it was a nice little eye opener. And I've never really bothered. And I got a fair few different rums now. I've got like Mezcal, all these sort of Italian brandies and vermouths. And
yeah, it's good fun, isn't it? Just have a little bit of a play around. Yeah. I don't like to have a lot, but it's the ceremony of making a cocktail, I think. Like doing it properly. That's why an old fashioned is so good to do if you do it with a sugar cube rather than just using like syrup, which is easier, to be honest, because it's you're stirring it around and you're taking your time and, you know.
Well, that's like you could infuse basil and rosemary, all these kind of things when you're making it, or just some anything herbs going into that sugar syrup completely is going to change it.
We could do, I think it'd be fun, our favourite recipes for old fashions on a different pod, couldn't we?
Definitely.
Sure, it's been done before, but who cares? These will be our favourite recipes for old fashions.
Yeah, maybe we should do that as like a YouTube or an Instagram live. We'll just and get absolutely smashed.
You get your favourite Welsh apron on.
Yeah, it's just me naked with a dragon on the front. Mm-hmm. See my ass.
I'll be full hazmat suit if I'm standing next to you naked. So like in summary, it's a cocktail you can play around with. I mean, I definitely have fun, and there's a couple I'd try again. If you haven't tried one, have a play around. It's easy. Just pick any whiskey in your cupboard, probably peated from what we said. Mm-hmm. Put it 1-1 with some amaretto. If it's too sweet, chuck some lemon juice or some bitters in. Boom, cocktail, done. Godfather Part 4. So the Godfather itself is known for a lot of really famous quotes. Right? Okay. And I was reading through a lot of the quotes to remind myself of them. It's stuff like, I believe in America. America's made my fortune, and, you know, revenge is a dish best served cold. And I wondered if we could whiskey up any of these quotes. I'll give you an example, Mike. I believe in McAllen. McAllen has made my fortune.
Yeah.
It hasn't, not me, bottle, but that's true for a lot
I
of people.
I bought one bottle and now I can buy a house because I sat on it for three years.
I bought a cask and it's appreciated by a bazillion percent. And so now I want to sell you on my own cask journey. Which,
love it.
Yeah. There's loads of quotes. There's one where it's like, leave the gun, take the cannoli. You know what cannoli is, right?
Of course, I
love cannoli. You go to a little delicatessen, get like a lemon cannoli and a chocolate cannoli. Oh.
There's a really good place on the back of Liverpool Street, an Italian coffee joint, and they do the best cannolis going. Can't remember the name of it, but Google Italian coffee places and by Liverpool Street. Mm. Go there, have a cannoli, have a coffee.
Oh, there's a few good places in and around London, obviously, because there's such an Italian contingent, especially around King's Cross. Yeah. One of my favourite quotes in the film is this one, and I think it's if anything, it's from Michael. So, if anything in life, not Michael Henry, just to be clear, he wasn't in the Godfather.
Yeah, from me
or you. If anything in life is certain, it's that history. If anything in life is certain, if history has taught us anything, is that you can kill anyone. And I was going to say, in a whiskey sense, if anything in life is certain, if history has taught us anything, it's that any celebrity can sell a spirit.
This is true.
Right? Yeah. Partner with someone famous and they will sell alcohol to people, right?
Yeah. My Jensen Button whiskey is sat over there.
Have you got a coach built?
Coach built, yeah.
Nice. Have you tried it?
Yeah, it's all right. At 5 to 10 a pound less, it would have been better. But lovely bottle.
46%.
Lovely to look at. It's one of those ones where you're going to like go, ooh, definitely keeping the bottle for that. I'm going to try and attempt to turn it into like a steampunk lamp or something crap.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I feel like I'll do one more. I feel like someday, and that day may never come, I will call upon you to do a service for me. And I feel like in the whiskey world, that would be someday, and that day may never come, I will call upon you to send me drams.
Yeah.
You just message something, just like, can you send me some drams? Can you just send me, you see that bottle you've opened? You just send me a sample of that, please. I can't get a bottle. Please, can you send me a sample?
From someone that's been doing a lot of begging of late, I can appreciate that.
Yeah, it's so true, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is very true.
There's been quite a bit of discussion this week about sort of units after we mentioned it on the podcast. So
yes, so you came up with the best way to make me feel bad about my drinking.
To shame you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like a one person intervention.
Yeah. But I can mute you on Twitter, so I
cheers.
No, I'm joking. Yeah. But no, it's amazing how many people sort of did sort of get involved, and yeah, it probably opened a few eyes to maybe I am having a few too many units.
Have you muted me, Mike, on Twitter?
No, look how angry. No.
Don't watch The Sopranos, don't watch The Godfather, and you've muted me. How many episodes did we make? 16? Yeah, it's been a good run.
That's where it ended.
People have been talking honestly about you know, their units. I think that's a good thing. You know, I always count it in my head. It literally happened to me again at the weekend. I went down the pub on Saturday so Eva could see one of her friends whose dad goes to the pub on Saturday afternoon. So you could be sitting here listening to this podcast thinking, oh, you just wanted a drink. No, I really want my daughter to see his daughter. It happens to be a pub that's really close by. Only way for them to see each other is for me to go to the pub. Get your violins out. So first drink, when I'm ordering it for myself, called Shandy. I'm like, minimum number of units, make it look like a pint. Oh, second drink, Guinness. God. Terrible Guinness at that pub. They were literally standing at the bar telling me the Guinness, how good the Guinness is. It's not, it's terrible, right?
What's it called? What pub is it? Hey, this is honest to a malt.
It's not even a proper pub. It's not even a proper pub. It's Toby Carvery, which is loved by Ben, the Whiskey Diary. They do a great...
Oh, is that Snaresbrook one?
Yeah, they do a great Carvery, but the booze, not so good. No. I often sit outside and have a cigar on weekends. So if you're going to whack me, if you're going to do drive-by drive-by on me.
Careful, because that's right by the court.
Yeah, not far to travel. Yeah. So they were telling me how good their Guinness is, but it's not very good at all. You know. And then some randomer was chatting to us who was winning loads of money on the fruities, and he wanted to buy us a drink for various reasons I won't go into. But anyway... I was like, I don't want a drink. And he's like, please have a drink. You can't insult me. And I was like, oh, I don't want a Guinness at this pub.
Yeah.
I don't want a pint of Coors. London Pride's not good here either. And I was like, I'll have whiskey. Looked at the best bar. Guess what, Mike? Whiskey selection is one of the worst I've ever
seen. Is it? You're going, right, listen to our podcast.
Yeah. So in the end, I had to get, because we usually just go there for a Carvery, right? It's fine for a Carvery or like a bun with some meat in it.
Decent.
Yeah, I have a coffee and have a cigar there, fine. I had a Jameson with ginger ale in it. That was the best thing I could come up with. But I was the whole time counting in my head, this is like 5 units I've wasted on a Saturday afternoon. So true. It's so true. Such a waste. I need to get to a place
where I love that you've entered your own head around these units. Like, I would stop. As soon as you reach the low of ordering a Coors Shandy, write that day off, forget about it.
Like, any shandy, Foster shandy, Coors shandy.
Mate, yeah. No. Peroni shandy, respectful.
Right, okay, I'll get that next time, fair enough.
Yeah.
I just poured myself a Kilkerran bourbon, 8-year-old cask, whatever. Neat. So much better. That's what I want. I want good booze. Yeah. Good booze. Exactly. Not bad booze. I don't know what's wrong with saying that. So anyway, we really appreciated people talking about it, having a chin wagon, trying to,
just take a bit of a self-reflection.
Yeah, it doesn't mean you're going to drink less, but just to be aware of it is a good thing. You know?
Who put the questionnaire out about how many units you drink a week? Was it Bert?
Yeah, it was the famous Bert Smedley.
Yeah, because I think you got a lot of responses there. And I love the fact that everyone like answered. And then as soon as a couple of people were honest, everyone went, yeah, I lied. I was completely in the next bracket up from what I said.
It's not your doctor. Like your doctor says, how much do you drink a week? It's an anonymous survey on Twitter.
1 pint a week, I reckon, 1 pint a week.
Yeah, sometimes 2 pints, sometimes 3.
So and then just you leave and you go, about 5 at night, see you, doc.
It's not your doctor. It's an anonymous survey on Twitter and people are still lying. state of us. Anyway, I was honest, sort of the worst months, right? But you know, you could go and a big day or night out, and that's the problem for me. It's not having the odd dram at home. It's you go to the pub with your friends, you go on a night out or whatever, and before you know it, it's snowballed and it's a huge event, and that's the problem. Could be a wedding.
Why is you samples, mate? Get like, I always like whenever there's sample things going, I'm like, yep, I've been on that. So I'm permanently 1 a week sample things coming through my door and you're like, oh, that's 5 whiskies. And you're like, oh shit.
But I do think it's important to say, like, you know, just because people listen to this so far. So I'll often have like 1 month off a year and occasionally have just a week off in a month.
Yeah.
And a great tip that I heard from, I think it's Barry, our Whiskey Chap's back.
Yeah.
Yeah. He left us for a week or something and then came back.
Yeah. I think he went on holiday and didn't have any signal. That's what it was.
just made a really dramatic leaving gesture. This is me done 2 weeks later. Hiya. Yeah. Oh. He said he won't drink 2 days in a row. I don't know if that's still true of him, but I think that's really good. Just generally speaking, I think it's totally fine to just say, do you know what? I don't want to have a drink. Yeah. It's actually really good to have a rest, you know, and just let your skin freshen up, freshen your mind up. And I always think when you've had a while off, whether it's a few days, a week or a month, everything tastes better when you come back.
Yeah. Well, I said to you before we recorded, my whiskey consumption has dropped massively.
Right.
Because I'm a lazy bugger and my whiskey room is now down in the summer house. So I have to go down to the bottom of the garden to get a dram. So I'm only drinking stuff that's getting posted to me at the moment. So I don't have to walk.
Hey, I had one other thing that I wanted to bring up this week. Not to get into it in depth, but just I think I'd like to talk about it on one of the next pods because it's been niggling me a bit, you know? And that is and I love reading all the review websites. We've picked up a lot of them in the past. I do love to go and read a review. But often what people will do is, you know, in financial terms, is they'll bake in the value score. I'm not going to name any websites, but they'll say, I was going to score it this 7, now I'm going to give it a 6. Or, you know, I can't score it this because of the price of the bottle. Yeah. For me, that's not how you score whiskey. You score whiskey based on the whiskey itself.
Yeah.
And you put the price next to it. And as a consumer, I don't need to be told that a bottle that costs 150 quid is expensive. I know it's expensive. I think occasionally it's worth pointing out something's excellent value.
Yeah.
Right? You know, like if you've got like something which is 14-year-old single cask, which usually is sort of 70, 80 quid and it's going for 50 quid. Sure. Just say it's great value, right?
Yeah.
If it tastes good. But I feel like if you're going to have a separate, if you're going to score value, score it separately on a scale. In which case, why? And this is just a sort of thinking point for people. But in which case, why do that? Because you can just put the price of the bottle next to it and everybody has different budgets. So what someone thinks is expensive isn't expensive for another person. Now, we all know I'm thrifty, you're thrifty, but occasionally I'll splurge on a more expensive bottle. But I'm totally capable as a person of making my own decision on what isn't expensive. Now, if I say I think it's pricey, I also think someone else is capable of deciding what they think is expensive, not expensive. So
exactly.
I kind of
and
feel like
your pricey could be like water to someone
exactly.
else.
So what I'm saying is I don't really want to see me on reviews. I don't really want to see bottles marked down because someone thought they're expensive. It's either a good whiskey or it's not. It's either got its merits in terms of taste and flavors and experience, or it hasn't. Yeah. And then the price just sits next to that.
Yeah. You or know, this is a 5-star whiskey, but DPD like got me in trouble with the missus.
On
one
retail,
star.
On retailers' websites. Yes, that happens. but, you know, obviously it's common sense to say that if whiskey is cheaper to a certain point, it's not going to be as good because, you know, there'll be a higher percentage of grain or it'll be a worse blend or it's not as old. But that's not always the case, right? In the same way that a young whiskey can be better than an older whiskey. So I just want to know, is the whiskey good? What does it taste like? And what's the story? Like, a bit more around it as well can help if you're not trying it blind.
Yeah.
And I want the value, I want the price to not be factored into the score. That's my overwhelming thought. And that's something I've been thinking about for a while.
I'd agree with that. I'd say so. Yeah, it's one of those things. Like you said, you know the value of something when you're buying it. So if you're willing to spend that money on it and then you moan about that it's not quite up to par, whatever, it's not the you're saying it's not up to par on taste and flavor. The price really has nothing to do with it.
But
so
I've also got one other suggestion. I don't know if whiskey, like the way to sort of counter that is to say, well, if you were thinking of buying this and this one costs, say, £90, I would say these other two or three bottles that I've had are a similar type of experience and flavor profile and yet cost £50 or £60. That's the way to help out people that don't really know what they're doing with purchases, rather than just saying it's expensive, so I've marked it down.
Or do what I used to do and then find someone where you love a whiskey, find a reviewer on YouTube or something that loves it and see what else they like.
Follow them.
Because your flavors might bounce and, just see what they've got into and what path they've gone on. But
yeah, that definitely works, doesn't it?
Yeah. Episode 17. Done and dusted. We've done well. I'll unmute you now. You've won me back over. Also, so, is my little moustache looking a bit Hulk Hogan in this light? It's going blonde down there, isn't it?
A little bit, I can see that.
If I'm going through my Hogan phase, I'll be well happy.
Do you know what? Now you've said it, I can see it.
It's mental, isn't it?
Should we get you a little blonde wig and
I'm well up for that. And
a
red
those
vest
skinny
and stuff.
Vests. Yeah.
Like Big Daddy than
did you? Hey, you gotta be careful when you talk about wrestlers. I know, don't mention Chris Benoit. When you Hulk Hogan, did you ever watch the reality TV series he did with his family?
It was a bit awkward, didn't really like it.
It wasn't very good, was it?
No. Mm. I preferred it when he started doing bounty hunting instead.
I didn't see that. That's a watch.
His dog, the bounty hunter, but he just reminds me of Hulk Hogan.
Oh, right. Dog, the bounty hunter. I've seen a bit of that. Yeah. All right.
Yes. On that bombshell.
On that bombshell. Thank you.
We'll see you on the next one. Thank you for listening. Go and check out honestwithmalt.com, honestwithmalt on Twitter, Instagram, and all those lovely things. And like, subscribe, review, 5-star. Bye.
Oh, follow and subscribe.